ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय The disappearance of the Krishna son may be explained as follows, according to the commentary of Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Vidura was struck with great sorrow when he got the hint of the annihilation of the great Yadu dynasty, as well of his own family, the Kuru dynasty. Uddhava could understand the grief of Vidura, and therefore he first of all wanted to sympathize with him by saying that after the sunset, everyone is in darkness. Since the entire world was merged in the darkness of grief, neither Vidura nor Uddhava nor anyone else could be happy. Uddhava was as much aggrieved as Vidura, and there was nothing further to be said about their welfare. The comparison of Krishna to the sun is very appropriate. As soon as the sun sets, darkness automatically appears. But the darkness experienced by the common man does not affect the sun itself, either at the time of sunrise or of sunset. Lord Krishna's appearance and disappearance are exactly like that of the sun. He appears and disappears in innumerable universes. And as long as he is present in a particular universe, There is all transcendent light in that universe. But the universe from which he passes away is put into darkness. His pastimes, however, are everlasting. The Lord is always present in some universe, just as the sun is present in either the eastern or the western hemisphere. The sun is always present either in India or in America. But when the sun is present in India, the American land is in darkness. And when the sun is present in America, the Indian hemisphere is in darkness. As the sun appears in the morning and gradually rises to the meridian and then again sets in one hemisphere, while simultaneously rising in another, so Lord Krishna's disappearance in one universe and the beginning of his different pastimes in another take place simultaneously. As soon as one pastime is finished here, it is manifest in another universe, and thus his Nitya Lila or eternal pastimes are going on without ending. As the sunrise takes place once in 24 hours, similarly the pastimes of Lord Krishna take place in the universe once in the daytime of Brahma, the account of which is given in the Bhagavad Gita as 4,300,000,000 solar years. But wherever the Lord is present, all his different pastimes, as described in the revealed scriptures, take place at regular intervals. As at sunset the snakes become powerful, thieves are encouraged, ghosts become active, the lotus becomes disfigured, and the chakravaki laments. So in the disappearance of Lord Krishna, the atheists feel enlightened, and the devotees become sorry. So now in the third canto, we are seeing the interaction of the devotees so much more. The various pastimes of the Lord's associates that come into play. But now the difference has been that in the first canto we've seen the establishment of Krishna as the Supreme Lord. And then the performance of his pastimes. We see the affection of those pastimes. How protective the Lord is, or how he nourishes these different devotees in their lifestyle, in their activities. But then again, we see in the second canto we need to establish that there's a difference. This is not mundane. It's not just, the sentiment is very good, but it's not mundane. It is something special, something unique. So this uniqueness then becomes important in seeing the difference between matter and spirit, so that we do not, one, we're attracted in the first canto because we see what we're looking for is shelter, we're looking for protection, we're looking that everything will go well. Because in the material world, things don't go well. Right? They go sometimes well, but a lot of the times not as well as we like. Right? That's the tendency. So then, where does one take shelter? Where does one go? So then we see that Krishna has shown that he is the shelter. He is there. No matter how difficult it is, he's there. He's present. Then it can happen. Right? Does that make sense? So, this is important for the living entity. Right? Philosophy aside, all these other things aside, that's different, right? The real reason that we're interested in philosophy and all is we're trying to find answers for why we have no shelter. Right? Material, the philosopher has understood the material world is not giving us shelter. And so we need this shelter. And there seems to be some difference between us and what goes on around us. So then solace is given in that we're eternal. So, you know, all these problems of birth, death, old age, and disease aren't actually a problem for us. We think it is, but it's technically not. So then some understanding can be gotten there, but because we don't know spiritual, we only know material. Therefore, there's a problem in relationships. Right? And they give problems, so we want a solution to the problem of disturbed relationships. Because that's what we're actually looking for. Anything else, money, position, power, all of this is only in relationship, is only in connection with relationships. Otherwise, if you're in charge of the whole world and no one recognizes it, or you have the most money of anyone, or you're the most beautiful, or the, anything, if you have any of the six opulences and no one notices it, does it mean anything? Right? You've just put on the most expensive clothes and you come to the temple for the festival day and no one even notices. Right? You're really going to think, was it important to acquire or wear these clothes? Right? Does that make sense? So ultimately everything is relationships. So if there's some disturbance in that, then naturally we have to take shelter somewhere. The relationship gives us identity, it gives us support. From that, whatever is required, opulence in that is gained from relationships. Right? So this is what the living entity requires. Right? Support and opulence. Gain and safety. So then, where do you get that if relationships you found in all levels have proven to be a problem? Proven to be faulty. So then we see here, Krishna comes and he shows in situations that are way beyond our problem, then he is saving, protecting the devotees, right? So now we will gain, okay, this is nice and tracks the mind. But then we might think, yes, but again, this is mundane. Or, yes, everything now is okay in the material world, right? You feel bad. You don't really see anything, you know, bright or inspiring. Material world is giving a problem. Then someone tells some story or something, maybe mundane. You hear some story, see some story. And then there's a nice ending. Someone's inspired again. Okay, there's some hope. It's not that bad. And so life goes on, right? The whole, how you say, entertainment industry depends upon this. Right? To give you some hope that it's worth continuing, right? Otherwise, if everybody had killed themselves, or was then no one to go to the movies, right? Or go to the show. Or if everybody had given up and all gone to the forest, also there's not many trees that have, you know, the proper plugs for running your paraphernalia to show your movies. Right? So therefore it's dependent that it must give some inspiration. It doesn't, the movie doesn't work, the show doesn't work, the song doesn't work. Does this make sense? So that's the whole point. Create that inspiration. So to make sure that we haven't just become inspired again from seeing how nicely Krishna is taking care of his devotees in difficult situations. Right? Means for the demoniac mentality, they like to put themselves into a tough situation. They get themselves out of that. They call that happiness. Right? You jump out of an airplane at, you know, whatever it is, 10,000 feet and free fall through the air. That's dangerous. And at the last moment you pull the ripcord and then the parachute comes out, and then when the parachute does come out, then one thinks, wow, that was great. Right? So it's getting yourself out of a dangerous situation. Now if the parachute doesn't come out, then generally the parachuter does not contemplate how great was that free fall and all those different forms that I just did with imperfection. Generally he's a little bit more worried about his, you know, up and coming relationship with the ground. Right? He's not too sure that it's going to be friendly. So that is a difficulty, right? You climbed the mountain, you went up to the top of Everest, you came back alive, right? And gently with most of your fingers and most of your nose, you know, and you're happy. like that. You know, whatever it is, you put yourself in a dangerous situation, and then you call that happiness. Right? That's always the thing, right? You just get on the road and ride from point A to point B. It's not called happiness. You go off the road and through the ditches and over this and that. You know, you can break your arm. Then when you get to the other side, you can say, that was nice. Does that make sense? So that's actually stemming from the demoniac mentality. Put yourself in danger, then get yourself out of it, right? That's why in the Brahminical culture, one's not allowed to put oneself into danger. Right? Brahmins don't run on slippery ground. Right? You don't step over the rope of a cow, because if they move, right, they're a lot bigger than us. If they move and that rope moves, then you may also be moving. So there's so many rules, like you don't bathe in a river you don't know, or a tank you don't know. You don't go inside a building that you can't see what's going on. It's, if there's an abandoned house, you don't just walk in. Right? You can't see inside, can't ascertain if it's safe or not. You don't go in. Brahman doesn't go in. Kshatriyas might. That's their rules. But others don't. Right? So that's the position is that now, so in the inverse we can see is that this difficult situation, if it is removed, not that you put yourself into it. They see these are ones you put yourself into it. Then you do that for pleasure. Right? Someone may say, well, why does difficulty always come? Why does fighting come? Right? But if we look at it, we put ourselves into a difficult situation, then when we get out of it, it's called happy. So the material energy is only trying to increase our happiness by putting us into distress, unwanted, and then when it does work out eventually, this life, next life, some life, right? Soul's eternal life. Then we're happy. Right? So it's the same pattern, just one is somehow or another above the line, and the other one is below, you know, in the negative, right? But it's the same principle. So, therefore, there's the potential of happiness. Right? Does this make sense? Yeah. The potential of happiness there. So when we see the difficulties that are come unasked, and it works, it corrects itself by the Lord's grace, then there's this hope that there is shelter, there is gain with the Lord. But now, then there's the difficulties after having gained that, then there may be again, oh, but, you know, this is of this world. So then second canto takes us beyond that. Because it shows us the difference between material and spiritual. Right? How the actual thing is, everything's Krishna, and what is operated in connection with Krishna, you get Krishna. You operate it not in connection with Krishna, that's called Maya. Is actually a Krishna. So now having cleared that, and by this process of detachment, of naishkarma, and always absorption in the Lord, one frees oneself from the material contamination. That situates ourselves on the other side. Right? Not the dark side, but on the other side, on the, you know, on the transcendental side. So now then the third canto, we can afford to move on very dynamically now with relationships. So we see immediately then we have Vidurna and you know, the destruction of the Kuru and Yadu's dynasties. Now meeting another devotee, Uddhava, and then their conversation. So then here, then now we will take it that these pastimes are transcendental, right? So that's been accepted. That's important. That's not accepted as a problem. Now the other cantos will also now bring us from having accepted, being put on the devotional path, having accepted Krishna consciousness, that we are going to give up the desire to control and enjoy this material world, even for Krishna. Does that make sense? The Pandavas are Kshatriyas. Their business is to control and enjoy the world. That's what their Kshatriyas are created for. Right? So then, But we see that even they have to give up. Right? At the end, they go to the forest themselves. Does that make sense? So these elements have to be brought out. So now we can go into it seeing Uddhava and Vidura in their discussion. Oh, excuse me. That was the point. The point was is that they engage what we would take example of their conditioned nature as Kshatriyas in the Lord's service. Right? And that is controlling and enjoying. So, but now, we also then, just as that, then they, that was given up for Krishna, because at some point, the conditioned nature becomes purified, there's no need to address its wants. Right? If it's favorable for service, it can be, but if it's not, there's no need to continue. Does that make sense? So we see always in this, the pastimes, there's that end, that conclusion. A conclusion also is what bonds, right? If you have a relationship, there must be some preliminary interaction. Then there's actually the body of what you call the relationship, what it's actually based on. Then there must be some conclusion. The conclusion creates bonding. So here, the conclusion of the activities, the devotee's activities and services to the Lord, it must create bonding with the Lord. Does that make sense? Right? So, therefore, one might say, well, but it seems to be unhappy, there's loss. No, that's the whole point. There's no loss, there's gain. That's going to be brought out now. Is that here's two devotees who have each lost their own dynasty, right? One the Kuru, one the Adams. How they're dealing with that, right? What is their understanding of this? Because conclusion is there. One could say the pastime is over, but that bonding is what's important. Does that make sense? That's why the tendency is when something's over, just that's it, finish. But it's not. There has to be something more. Otherwise, there's no bonding between the persons that were there. Does that make sense? It doesn't make sense. You invite someone over for a meal. Okay. Now, they wouldn't just walk in straight to the table, sit down and go, oh, okay, I'll take some of this and that. Right? You would expect them to say hello at the door. They would expect you to invite them in. You might give them a seat. There might be some preliminary discussions, maybe a drink, maybe some appetizers, maybe something else is happening before you actually get to the meal. Right? Then you're ready for the meal. Right? And then as soon as the meal is up, over, then the person just moves his chair back, stands up, walks off, walks out the door, and that's it. Right? And you call that a great dinner. Right? No. There has to be something else. Afterwards, sitting, talking, interacting. Right? Then you'll say, that was a nice dinner. Does that make sense? So even though the dinner is the main point, without the preliminaries and the conclusions, it has no meaning. Does that make sense? But just sitting around and chit-chatting also has no meaning. You have a nice feeling towards the other person, you just chit-chat, but you have to do something that has a meaning to the relationship. Does that make sense? So, therefore, Abhideya doesn't have its full effect, or, how you say, substance without some bandha and prayojana. Right? And some bandha and prayojana also don't have any substance without Abhideya. Does this make sense? But your whole point is the Abhideya, the activity. Does that mean something? Okay. So in here, then the concluding of the Lord's pastimes, the bonding of the devotees with one another, the bonding with the Lord, that's essential. It's part. It may be in a pleasant environment, it may be not in a pleasant environment. But the point is that's how relationships work. It's just a matter of where they are on the scale. Right? The same formula is there, whether it's in ecstasy or it's in separation. Does that make sense? The same pattern is there. Right? you know, this is not meant to, how you say, create an idea that, well, life is just so simple and boring. No, this is to create an idea that you understand what's going on, so you're not overwhelmed by it. It's a simple formula. This is how relationships work. Mm-hmm. All relationships, even with God. Right? So, now, here then, in this, now they're starting it up, they meet in this, but now Vidura spoke, now this is the first time Uddhava is speaking. Now in relationship, whatever your position, whatever your understanding, that's one thing. But it has no meaning if you don't connect with the other person. Does that make sense? So whatever is your contemplation, that's nice, that's good, that should be expressed. But only after having first expressed something that is compatible with the other person's mood at the moment. Does that make sense? Otherwise, where's the connection? Where's the bridge? Does that make sense? One could say, well, they shouldn't be mental, they shouldn't be this, they shouldn't be that. You can go on saying all that all day until you turn blue, and it will not change. The person who says that is right that they shouldn't be, as far as knowledge goes, but as far as relationship goes, is absolutely 100% wrong. Right? We wouldn't give it more than 100%, but mathematically that's all you can give it. So 100% will be satisfied. That's the way it works. They shouldn't be. Okay, they shouldn't. Yes, that's your understanding why you're saying it shouldn't be mental, because either in the past you were and you've gotten over it, you know, by your own endeavors, or this lifetime you had already done it last lifetime, and this lifetime you're already born unmental. Right? So you don't have to worry about it. But that's your platform that you function. Now if you want a relationship with the other person, they're just supposed to bridge the gap between you and them. Right? There's no meeting. You don't make some endeavor. Right? Otherwise, then wouldn't that be self-centered? Wouldn't that be mental? Wouldn't that be a trip? Right? Isn't it a trip saying they're on a trip? Right? A child's crying. Oh, quit being so selfish, and it was only a little bug, you know, I mean, hey, people don't die from getting bit by a little bug, you got bit by an ant, get over it, kid. Right? But you say this is a nice person? No. So, what do? You say, oh, don't worry, this, that, you know, whatever, mommy will make it nice, mommy will kiss it and make it better, whatever it is, there's so many ways that they do this. Right? Then you start from there, and then you go on about the bug, you know, nasty bug, and then you point out that, you know, there's bugs in the world and it happens, right? Right? Does that make sense? And then the kid's a little bit, that step a little bit more mature. Oh, that, nice, now you're a big boy now, right? Now you're not crying and all that. But you started off with, he's crying and it's, he's got, does that make sense? That's relationship. So if you do feel yourself in a superior position, this is the method. And if you say, no, they're just supposed to bridge the gap, then you might be an illusion about your senior position, because you're just as much on a trip as the other person. Just an inverse. Right? As far as temperature goes, if it's 50 degrees above zero and 50 degrees below zero, it's the same thing, just in reverse. That's all it is. Right? One may be too hot, the other's too cold. So depending on what you want, we call it good. Does that make sense? So, in this, relationships function by this, right? This is what the scriptures give us. So then, Vidura, Uddhava here, whatever his realization about the loss of the Yadu dynasty, that doesn't matter. They will get to that because he's asking to share that. But he's got to start from Vidura. Right? Where Vidura is right now, he may have been before, a week ago, a day ago, an hour ago. And now maybe he's not. But that doesn't matter. He starts from where Vidura is. having made this statement, right? That's what he says here. And therefore, he first of all wanted to sympathize with him by saying that after the sunset, everyone is in darkness, right? So this is one Prabhupada speaking, and about Uddhava and Vidura, right? All eternal associates. So it can't be all that bad, right? There must be something to it, some substance to it. So this is relationship. Then from there he's going to go on. So this is the first point Prabhupada makes. So that's very important, that sympathizing, taking into consideration the other person, even though it may seem emotional, it does not mean it's Maya. It's the process. Right? You know what I'm saying? Cutting the vegetables to cook is not cooking. You know what I'm saying? I mean, unless maybe you're so fast with the knife and it creates so much heat when you cut through it that the thing cooks on the cutting board. But, I mean, even in the comic books, I've never heard of that. So, you know. Does that make sense? You know, it's like... So you could say, well, this is all Maya, let's just get down to cooking. No, you can only cook if there's preliminaries. Does that make sense? So it's just something that we need to understand. Why do we bring this out? One is we like it for ourselves, but it's the problem. See, in the spiritual world, it's not a problem. Because the feminine nature functions by this. Right? The feminine nature, the preliminaries and the conclusion are the important element. The activity itself is the medium through which it can be expressed. It connects it together because it gives the experience. The masculine principle is the performance of the activity that gets the result is the important. The preliminaries, if they can be finessed, they'll always try. In the spiritual world, they don't, because there's Krishna, who's masculine. Everything else other than him and Balaram is feminine. So, knowing the real nature, Krishna doesn't finesse preliminaries and conclusions of activities. Right? For him, that's rasa. But in this material world, you have so-called masculine nature. It's called the Purusha Bhava, where the living entity thinks, I am God. So every living entity thinks that. And so because of that, the tendency is, as quick as possible, most efficiently, get my action done. That gets the result so that I am my so-called happy. So the scriptures have to point out, okay, sir, if you're going to claim that you're masculine, then you need these other two parts of the equation. Right? And if you're feminine, you understand it anyway. Does that make sense? Yes, ma'am. Doesn't make sense. If you catch this one, you can expand this to figure out everything that happens in your life. Yes. So we get... You have a situation in which an activity is performed that will give you a result, right? So, men like setting up situations, ladies like the result. Okay? Does that make sense? Men create situations. It means the house, the paraphernalia in the house, the money, the status that you're in, everything like that is created by the masculine principle. It's the environment. Like Krishna is existence. So even if we take Sambandha Abhideya Prayojana, Sambandha is masculine and Abhideya Prayojana is feminine. Right? Because Ladini Shakti is Radharani, it's feminine. But the two meet at Abhideya. At the activity. Does that make sense? Okay. Now in that meeting, the male is looking at the result because it's the field. The field is full of things. So an observable phenomena. An activity will create observable phenomena. That's what the man looks at. Right? That's within the action, the abhidaya. The feminine is looking at the result, but it's not the thing that's the important, it's the experience of the thing. Does that make sense? So while the activity is going on, the experience of the activity, that's what's looked for in the abhidaya by the feminine. Right? So the activity is common, but one's looking for the observable result, the other's looking for the experience of the activity. Right? One's the efficiency of the activity being performed, the other is the experience of the activity. Right? So that's where the two blend. Right? So now, in this, the field, because activity means the masculine and feminine principle are coming together, whatever it is, right? We're controlling something, that's the masculine principle, whatever it is, even as the car calls. You don't just play the car calls. I have to reach over, I have to pick them up, I have to pick them up properly. I can't use more energy, I'll knock them on the floor. I can't use less energy, I won't be able to pick them up. I have to wrap my fingers around the threads, and then I have to bang them together the way car calls like to be banged together. I may not. I can take one and bang it on the microphone and the other one on my head. Yeah. You know, so, but you won't get the result that comes from a car call. So you have to, in other words, the activity has to be circled around what you're dealing with, the other person. This makes some sense. Okay? It can't function otherwise. I can't say, well, the cartels should get over that they have to be played like that. Why can't they? I mean, I got a million ways they can be played. But that is the foolish masculine mentality. Right? This doesn't just apply to males. It also applies to females when they get overly in this mood, the Purusha Bhav. But you have to deal with it the way they otherwise won't get the result of nice music. Right? You get something else, but you don't get that music. And then I don't just finish playing and drop them. I have to take my fingers off and put them back with the same, you know, energy and care that I picked them up with. Does that make sense? So every action is like this. There's nothing in the sensual, economic, religious, or spiritual activity that doesn't function on these three, right? Because sambandha avideya prayojana pervades everything, because everything is Krishna. Krishna is Satchidananda. So that means everything has these qualities in it. All the things, all the actions, everything. Does that make sense? So that's why we're saying it's a universal principle, it's not just that you understand this, you can connect and understand with everything. So now, we're saying, before, is the difficulty is because of this perverted masculine mentality. See, the pure masculine mentality is, I am male, I do exist, I am happy. But to expand that happiness, the masculine expands the feminine and interacts with it. Right? Does that make sense? On its terms. Right? Does that make sense? Because Krishna is already perfect as he is, as Atmarama. Right? But he expands for rasa, and he interacts. So, therefore, he's quite comfortable since he's expanded the energy to work with it as energy. So the preliminaries and the conclusion are very fine for him. But the masculine principle is something should be done through which the relationship can be based around. Okay? Does that make sense? Right? And a result is seen. Because he is existent, so it creates other elements within non-yoga sphere of existence. Right? Right? Does that make sense? You have something, by that endeavor, you add more paraphernalia to your sphere. It's observable. Right? While the feminine, there will be an experience gained from that. It's not the item itself. Like that. But items are a medium through which you can experience, therefore they'll talk so much about it. But it's not actually the thing itself. Like that. So now, yes. Does that make sense? So what we're saying in the perverted masculine identity, we're trying to prove that I am masculine, which means existence. So basically, the activity itself, to control it and get the result, and having got the result, we define getting what you want as happiness. So that's generally as far as the masculine mentality goes. Then we find that whoever we dealt with in that way will be dissatisfied. Because preliminaries and the conclusion were basically finessed because it wasn't practical. Does that make sense? Is it starting to make sense what we're talking about? Right? So that means even though practically you could do it in a simpler way, if it is in any way going to compromise the relationship, then you got to decide, is a observable result what you want, or the nourishment of relationship is what you want. Right? That's your decision. Does that make sense? And we always have to remember that breakdown in relationships generally comes from that these fine points aren't followed. Right? Because there's no taste. Does that make sense? Yes or no? Right? So we can see that this simple, basic philosophy of Krishna being Atmaram or being Rasamai, and why the difference in the mentality, and so therefore how he behaves, goes through, pervades everything in the cause of creation. So if you wonder why there's a problem in any relationship, there's a breakdown in this process. It's that simple. Right? Does that make sense? You know, throwing in top of that, of course, then you have all your etiquettes and rules and regulations and all, but those are simply to see that this mood is properly in place. And if it's not, at least you make an external show of it. The form is there that you could do something with, right? If you have a car, it's not running, but, you know, potentially if you push it, then it will start. You know what I'm saying? So it should just start and then you go. But if it doesn't, you can push it and then it will start. Does that make sense? So best is the mentality is there and the rules support that. If not, you follow the rules. But the idea is to start the mentality. Does that make sense? Okay, and then time is over in 2 minutes. So that was the first paragraph. So then Prabhupada's and final thing is pointing out that when Krishna is not present, then naturally the devotees feel sorry. And so then when anything connected to Krishna, that is bright. And when it's not connected to Krishna, then it's not... It's more difficult. Yeah. Okay. So then, kind of went over the time. So we'll end here, and then if anyone wants to continue with any questions on this or other things, we'll start after 5 minutes again. So personified has come again to Mayapur.
What?
So personified is again back in Mayapur.
and send that to us.
Yeah, yeah. Basically, you can download some stuff from your computer and but anyway. Okay, I'll see you tomorrow. Thank you.
Understanding the masculine is the weak end.
appropriate. Yeah. So the point is that if we are dealing with the masculine principle, then we have to deal like Krishna, and otherwise we're dealing with the feminine, then that's the way it is. This whole idea is that, so generally what you have is the feminine doesn't want to be submissive, the masculine doesn't want to be submissive. So then, where is the relationship? There is none. So then this whole idea of, you know, men can do it with women, men, doesn't actually come up, because as soon as you say man, woman, then you're dealing with two different entities that have their inherent nature. And if you say same, then that would be saying, you know, I'm going to go down to the boba room and pick up a few pumpkins and, you know, use them to dry over to non-living. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't make any sense. The pumpkins are vegetables, they're not hearts, they're not boba. But that's actually what the living entity is saying. And because everybody's saying it, they all think it's cool. You know, like kids, they have their car, and then the car's in their hand, but in that car, they're going everywhere. So in the same way as you got all these people sitting on the boat going to Nauvoo with a pumpkin in their hand, and you know, and the other ones are saying to the other, oh, cool car. Yeah. Wow.
So we're all shared
illusions. Yeah, it's a shared illusion. So in the Vedic, it's the women are submissive, the men are submissive. Then you have relationship. But the modern is women are in your face, you know, and men are macho. So there is no relationship. It's unfortunate, but that's the thing. So that's the problem, is this improper application of these spiritual principles.
So if you take the spiritual principle,
yes, we can have, if we use the formula, then we can have Krishna conscious relationships, because there's no problem. You know, they're saying femininity needs opulence, so you don't have to worry that by manifesting it, I'll lose opulence. You know what I'm saying? The man, okay, it's like this. The man, he fights for the position. The woman wants to come in and smile and get the position. So this is the fun. They'll say, no, we're equal. We do things, you know, we can do whatever the men can do. But if they walk in the room and smile and nobody cares, that woman will be offended. You know? And then she'll make a comment how the men aren't behaving properly and aren't respectful. Like that, but you just said you can do it with men, so therefore do it. Get out there and flex your muscles, you know, and how you say it, and get in there in an intellectual fight that has no emotion to it. Try it. It's impossible. So therefore, why? The woman, so in other words, she wants all the benefits that she has, that plus the men's. Right? You know, the women have 90% control as it is, and that last little 10% that the men have, they want that too. So, you know, but they're so clever, four times more clever, that they presented that it's 50-50. But what they're trying to mean is, of the 10% that's left, I want 50% of that. That's the 50-50. So that's the fun.
It means
depending upon the attributes from previous life, the Purusha Bhav is there. That's why there's problems, because in the material world, all those jivas are feminine, but they don't act like it. Right? Some of them, they all have the Purusha Bhav, they all think they're masculine. Then they exhibit that masculinity through the modes of nature that create feminine, how you say, feminine, create femininity and create masculinity. means the soul is feminine. So all their needs and everything are feminine, not in any way masculine. But every living entity in the material world thinks they're masculine, that I'm in control and enjoy. But of this, then it's split down the middle, that half of them express this masculinity through femininity, and half of them express it through masculinity. Does that make sense?
They take on the masculine attitude.
but they're still dependent upon Krishna. That's the feminine point. And souls are still dependent on Krishna. Does that make sense?
What then is the principle of Krishna and Balaram being not just only Krishna, but Krishna and Balaram being the master?
Balaram, because Balaram is everything else. Means you have Krishna, who's the most attractive, so he can spend his time basically playing the part of Dhira Lalita. Means the master mentality in which he is under the control of the females in his circle. Right? But that still leaves Dhira Dutta, Dhira Prasanta, and Dhira Odata. That means, you know, following the rules and regulations, setting the perfect example, and chastising those who are not following or doing properly. Right? So that's Balaram. Krishna has all those, but we see all those have done that. He kills the demons. He does that as Vasudeva. Technically, that's Balaram. Right? But it's Krishna playing Vasudeva. Right? But technically, it comes from Balaram. Balaram expands into Dwarka, so you have Vasudeva and Sankrishna. Does that make sense?
So Krishna
also
plays.
Yeah, so Krishna, that's why Krishna is always in Vrindavan, he never leaves. Balaram leaves. So that's everything else in Krishna's mentality. But those other three mentalities, he also has his pastimes with his devotees and everything, so he also has that. But it's not as common as the other three. But those three are subservient to the main. Does that make sense? Yeah. They're subservient to the main. So, therefore, Balaram has that service attitude towards Krishna.
The same
with
what we find on
same as what was intended in the world. Does that make sense? Yes. Because the echo, I couldn't quite hear. Someone else or someone else can say it. They sing about it. Specifically, we use Radhe on Radhastami. That's the specific time when it's used. Other times, one should be careful how one uses it. One should not use it unnecessarily, because we have to remember the relationship with Krishna may be informal.